This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Vayechi. Parshas Vayechi has one of the most well-known psukim in Sefer Bereishis. And it's a very fundamental pasuk in the Chumash in general. The pasuk says, and this of course is in the Berachas Yaakov, where Yaakovinu is speaking to Yehuda. And Yaakovinu says, Lo yasur shevem Yehuda. Yaakov says the staff should not be removed from Yehuda. Umechaykeik mi bein raglav, and the lawgiver's stick from between his legs. Ad ki yavai Shiloh, until Shiloh comes. Veloy yikahas amen, and to him will be the gathering of the nations. So, seemingly, Yaakovinu is saying that rulership, dominion, power, royalty, sovereignty will never part from Yehuda. He will always be some type of leader. What type of leader? Says the Targum, Yushalmi, Leipaskin Malchin Midbeis Yehuda. There will always be kings from Yehuda. Af Lo Sabarin Malchei Raisa. The teachers of Torah will also come from Yehuda. Until when? Until the day of Messiah, until Mashiach comes. In other words, if you want to know who will be the kings, who will be the Rabbeim, will be from Shevet Yehuda. That is the Targum Yishalmi. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Hey, Kedetanya, Lo Yasur Shem Yehuda. What does it mean, Lo Yasur Shem Yehuda? How did this come to fruition? Elu Rashe Golias. These are the heads of the Golas and Bavel, that they dominate the people with an iron fist. We know that there's a concept of Jewish leadership has to be somewhat authoritative. And the leaders of Jewish people from Shevet Yehuda sort of were Roi De Esa'am. Roi De Esa'am means they, with power, yeah? And Umechoykeik Mi Bein Raglav, and the lawgiver stick, Elu B'nei Banav Shel Hillel. These are the grandchildren of Hillel, Shemalamdim Torah Barabim, that they teach Torah publicly. In other words, we know Hillel was the descendant of David. And the children of Hillel taught Torah publicly. So we have a number of different interpretations of what does it mean, Lo Yasur Shev Yehuda. The Targum says kings will come from Yehuda. The Gemara says the Rashi Golios will come from Yehuda. The Torah teachers will come from Yehuda. But let us begin with the classic words of the Ramban. This is perhaps, it's got to be like top five Ramban in Chumash, one of the most well-known Rambans. I spoke about the Ramban Monday evening in Miami. Speak about it Friday in Passaic, but here we're speaking about it in a new chidushim. The Ramban in Parshas Vayechi. The Ramban says, "What does it mean that royalty or rulership will not part from Yehuda? Does that mean kings will always come from Yehuda forever and ever and ever? The kings of the Jewish people will come from Yehuda? We know that's not true. We've been in Golos for the majority of our existence and we didn't have kings from Yehuda." Says Ramban, it doesn't mean that there will always throughout Jewish history be kings from Yehuda, because the pasuk says God will carry away you and your king to a foreign land. So if they have a king in the Golos, when Tzidkiyahu was in the Golos, when we went into exile, we didn't have a king from Yehuda. Furthermore, the pasuk says in Hosea, Yomim Rabim Ein Melech B'Yisrael, the Jews for a long periods of time were lawless, without any leadership. So it can't be the Navi is guaranteeing and promising that the Jewish people will never go into exile, because we know one thing that we know as fact as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west is that we've gone into Golos in our life. So what does it mean, Lo Yasur Shevet Yehuda? Says the Ramban, does not mean there will always be a king in the Jewish people from Yehuda. It means that it will never go to a different Shevet. Whenever there is sovereignty, it will belong to Yehuda. You're not going to have a Jewish king and he's going to be from Asher. You're not going to have a Jewish king and he's going to be from Zvulun. You're not going to have a Jewish king. You say, where do you come from? I'm from Naphtali. No, whenever there is a Jewish king, he will come from Yehuda. What about him? Oh, he's not from Yehuda. We'll deal with that. We're going to deal with that. Good question. The Ramban continues, and no extra charge, but I broke up the Ramban into user-friendly pieces over here. So, you know, you see a long, long Ramban, you get very scared, and you might not come back next time. So this way, you know that after a certain amount of time, we break up the piece, and everything will be good. Shalom al Yisrael. Okay. The Ramban continues. This pasuk is being merames that Yaakov was mamlich Yehuda over his brothers. Now, that language of the Ramban, Reb Simcha Zisel Broida points out, it doesn't say Yaakov was telling Yehuda, God will make you the king. Yaakov was coronating Yehuda. That even implied, furthermore, that Yaakov made Yehuda the king. He gave it, in other words, there are 2 points. That means Yaakov was authorized to decide who should be the king of Israel. I mean, who told Yaakov who should be the king? Why does Yaakov have the right to decide who's going to be the king? Let the Jews appoint their own king. Isn't there a democracy? The answer is there's no such thing as democracy in Judaism. Democracy is not a Jewish concept. Yaakovino decided. That's the first thing. Yaakov decided who his children's king should be. Secondly, that implies that Yaakov is invested with the ability to declare the next king. So I would like to explore that subject in a different shir. I have a thesis that Yaakov was a melech, because who could decide who the next king should be? Only the king. So as basically almost every shir so far, Sefer Bereishis has been on this topic, if you've noticed, the concept of Malchus and Klal Yisrael, starting with Avram Avinu, who was proclaimed to be a melech, right? Rashi brings down that the whole world proclaimed Avraham as a melech. In the Targum Yerushalmi says in the beginning of Ayigash that Yehuda says to Yosef, hey, you think you're a king? My father's also a king of Canaan. Yitzchak perhaps wasn't a king, by the way, which might explain that when David HaMelech needed 70 years, he got years from Avraham, he got years from Yaakov, he got years from Yosef, but he needs royal years so he could get from the kings, Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. He can't get from Yitzchak. Why can't he get from Yitzchak? I want to say he can't get from... This was a different share, but I just summarized it in 2 minutes, but I never gave this other share. Yeah, I wanted to give it maybe at the end of the week, that Yitzchak can't be a king because Yitzchak is already considered like he's not alive. He's Ketz Chai. He's in the end of days, even though he's alive. And there's a concept, Ein Shilta and Biyay Mamadas. There's no royalty when you're already in the next world. So maybe Yitzchak wasn't a king, and therefore he can't give royal years to David. That's Stama. Yeah, so, right. So he's a mace. So Ein Shilta Biyay Mamadas. Okay, but let's continue back to the ranch over here. That Hashem promised, according to Ramban, that so long as there is royalty in the Jewish people, it will belong to you. It will not go to any other tribe. But now it said God doesn't say. So Asi asked, what about Shaul? Shaul did not come from Shevi Yehuda. Who did Shaul come from? Binyamin. Ah, says Ramban, something very interesting. It doesn't say the kings of the Jewish people will always be from Yehuda. It says it will never be taken away from Yehuda. That once God gives it to Yehuda, it won't be removed from him. But there will be a time where God didn't give it to Yehuda yet, namely Shaul. And even Shaul, we said many times in the Shalach Kadosh, it was borrowed. It wasn't really his. And that's what the Ramban says, that it belonged to Shaul. But once the royalty was given to Yehuda, it will never be taken away. Ah. Look at the Ramban on the 6th line. Ask his question. Inyan shol haya ki bavur she devar shela samalchus vezi nisav itzak ah. Now, why did God do that? In other words, why did Hashem first give the malchus to Shaul, and then take it away, and then give it to Yehuda, and keep it by Yehuda forever? The answer is, listen to Ramban. Now, when the Jews originally asked for a king, it wasn't good in God's eyes. God was very upset about it. King. Now imagine you go over to, you go into a restaurant and you go to the cook and you say, can I have a cook? You know of a good cook? I mean, so imagine you go to God. Who's the king? God's the king. HaMelech HaKadosh, Hashem's the king. So it was not correct in God's eyes that we asked for a king. And therefore God knew that that giving over of royalty would have to be taken away from them. So Rebbe Hashem knew that if he's going to give royalty to Yehuda, it would have to be taken away from him. So what did Rebbe Hashem do? He gave it to Shaul. This way he could take it away from him and then give it to Yehuda and it would never ever be taken away. That's the that is the position of the Ramban. In other words, the Ramban says that since royalty would, since Rebbe Hashem deemed it inappropriate that they asked for a king at that point of time, therefore Rebbe Hashem didn't want to give it to Yehuda because then it would have to be taken away from him. So therefore the Rebbe Hashem gave it to Shaul, and then ultimately it was taken away from Shaul. Yeah, but Yehuda wasn't really a king. The Ramban learns the first king was David. Now, the Ramban asks, the Pasuk says, take a look at number 14, that when Shaul acted foolishly, Shmuel said, you did not guard the mitzvahs of Hashem. Asher tzivach. God would have established your royalty forever. Shmuel says to Shaul, Shaul, you blew it. If you would have acted properly, you would have been king forever. What do you mean? I thought Shaul was just on borrowed time. And God only allowed Shaul to be king because he knew that since it was an inappropriate request, he would be able to take it away from him. So God gave it to Shaul to be able to take it away. So what does the pasuk mean that had Shaul acted correctly, he would have been king forever? That's Ramban's kasha. By the way, the Rabag asked that kasha. And the Rabag says that Olam doesn't mean forever. And before I tell you his proof, I'll tell you my proof. There's once a rabbi, and people would say about him, yeah, he speaks forever, right? Does he really speak forever? I mean, you know, eventually, whoever, you know, they say that about everybody. They get down after a while, after, you know, an hour, after 2 hours. How much could you go over time? So it's not mamish forever. It's just a figure of speech, right? Or you wait online. Oh, that line took forever. Didn't take forever. Eventually, after a few days, you got what you needed, you know? I called up customer service. It took forever. You know, by the time Shabbos came, you got what but forever is an exaggeration. Like the pasuk says, va'avodoy lo'olam, and you will serve forever. It means till yoiva. So it says Ramban, it doesn't mean that Shmuel said to Shaul, you'll be the king forever. It just means for a long time. But ultimately, you would have to go to the Malchus based on it. So now, according to the Ramban, if somebody took royalty from Yehuda and brought it to a different Shevet, that would be considered inappropriate. And now the Ramban voices one of his most notable opinions in the whole Chumash. Says Ramban, in my humble opinion, all the kings that ruled over Israel from any other Shevet after David, be it Yeravim ben Nevat, be it Chveis, all the Malchei Yisrael, be it the Chashmonaim, they all violated the Das Torah of Yaakov Avinu, who said Melucha belongs to Yehuda. They had no right to do that. Now, why did they do that? Now, they had a heter in the beginning. The heter in the beginning was, there was a man by the name of Achia Hashiloni. Who is Achia Hashiloni? For those of you who like to learn the Nevi'im, there's something called Nevi'im, the prophets, right? Those things, those prophets. And one of the interesting figures in Navi is Achia Hashiloni. He's the longest living person, perhaps, in history. He left Egypt, and he was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi. And I'm not telling you Divrei Agadata. The Rambam, when he writes the Masorah of the Torah, he writes, Achia Hashiloni left Egypt. He was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi. In fact, Rambam, Maimonides. Okay? In fact, the Brisker Rav says, when Mashiach comes, and we say, Teiku, Tishbe Yitaris, Kushyus Vabayos, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to, we have a Shaila in Halacha. So we're going to ask Eliyahu. We may ask Eliyahu. Loi B'Shamayim Hi. Right? What's Halacha? If somebody doesn't know what to do, they have a Shaila in Halacha. And they ask the Ribbono Shlom, and the Ribbono Shlom says, do X. And they call a Halacha hotline, and the Halacha hotline says, do Y. What do you do? To follow the Halacha hotline. It's not the What? Oh, so what about Eliyahu HaNavi? So Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come back. But isn't he an angel? So the Chassam Sofer says, no, he was a Navi. He had smicha from Achi Ashiloini. And he's a chacham michach me'Yisrael. That's what the Brisker Rav brings out. Okay, but bottom line is, so says, the Achia HaShiloini said as follows. Because he ain't coming, because...
He's the rabbi.
Why not him? Before Tchiyas HaMeisim. He's the one
that told Eliyahu.
Was that him?
What? He's the one
that told Eliyahu. Because he's only going to come back by Tchiyas HaMeisim. But Eliyahu HaNavi comes back before. Right, he's coming back before, so he's going to tell us all halachas. Oh, says the Ramban, Achia Shiloini said the following nevuah, that I'm going to afflict the descendants of David, but not for a long time. So based on that prophecy, they had a right to sort of depose the Malchei Beis David for a short amount of time and coronate the Malchei Yisrael. However, when they took that nevuah to the extreme and they continued to appoint king after king after king for the Malchei Yisrael, that was a violation of the opinion of Yaakov Avinu, and they're all punished. And says the Ramban, that is why the Chashmonaim were so severely punished in the times of the Bayashim. Says the Ramban, one of the most famous things Ramban says, because they were Chassidei Elyon. And if not for them, the Torah would have been forgotten. But they were punished terribly. Why? The four children of Chashmonaim of the Zakein were Chasidim, and they were the Melech of Yisrael, generation after generation after generation after generation, and they were all wiped out to a T, to the last one, and to the extent that the Gemara says in Baba Basra, that anyone who says they're from the house of Chashmonaim is an Eved, because there was a man by the name of Hordas, and Hordas had his eyes on a certain woman from the house of the Chashmonaim, and she got wind that Hordas wanted to live with her, and she was about to jump off the roof, and she says, from now on, anyone who says they're from the Chashmonaim is an Eved, because I'm the last one, and she jumped off the roof, and the Gemara says he preserved her for a certain amount of time in honey, and perhaps he violated her even in when she was dead, but the bottom line is, says Ramban, why were the Chashmonaim wiped out? Because they violated the Das Torah of Yaakov Avinu, that kings must come from Shevet Yehuda. And the punishment was Mida Keneged Mida. Because, says Ramban at the end of Daled, they ruled over their brothers. God allowed the nations of the world to rule over them. And then the Ramban says an interesting thing that's not as well known. And he says it could be that aside from the fact that only the descendants of Yehuda are allowed to be kings, there was a special problem with the Chashmonaim. And that is they were Kohanim. And a Kohen cannot be a king. Why can't a Kohen be a king? Because the Gemara says, the Yushalmi says, they need to be dedicated to the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. They have to be devoted to the Avodah. And therefore, this would be antithetical to their tafkid. And that's another reason why the Chashmonaim were punished so severely, because it's bad enough that you're taking Malchus out of the hands of Shevet Yehuda, but that the Kohanim should be Malachim, that's very terrible. And it is very well known that the Chassam Sofer is reputed to have said, even though there's a lot of controversy about this, because this is not found in any of the writings of the Chassam Sofer. In fact, the Chassam Sofer writes a completely different reason, but the reason why there's no Masechta for Chanukah is because who redacted the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says, Ano mi beis David kasina, I come from the Davidic line, and therefore, in deference to his ancestors, Malchus beis David, he, so to speak, took umbrage to the fact that the Chashmonaim became Malachim, and he didn't give them the limelight and the spotlight to have the Masechta of Chanukah. And some say, Chas v'Shalom, Rebbe would try to, you know, have a personal vendetta against the Kohanim, and they try to explain, perhaps, maybe Baruch HaKodesh, Hashem, so to speak, stood up for the honor of the Malchus Beis David. Be it as it may, Marv Raboisai, this is the Shita of the Ramban, and I think most of us are accustomed to learning Chumash like the Ramban. that the Chashmonaim sinned by taking over the Malchus, and that is why they were wiped out. But what we would... The Chashmonaim were 206 years into Bayis Sheni. Who would have been the Malachim? I don't know, but doesn't make it right, you know? What are you going to do, you know? If you don't have a Kohen, you don't have a Kohen. So if you don't have a Melech, you don't have a Melech. That's for an Aliyah, but... Chashmonai? That's what they were called. No, they were Kohanim. They were called Chashmonai. Okay, this is the opinion of the Ramban. What is very interesting is most Rishonim disagree with the Ramban. Most Rishonim learn the Chashmonaim did nothing wrong whatsoever. What do you mean? So that is what we're going to discuss tonight, the opinions of the Ran and the Abarbanel, most notably the Abarbanel, regarding how do we understand and this is not what we discussed earlier in the week. This is the subject of how do you understand what Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda. And the Ran in the Drushas Haran at the end of Drush Shavi begins by asking the following question. And that is, says Ramban, if Yaakov Avinu, you think Yaakov Avinu was just saying, by the way, Yehudala, Kindelach, Yosefel, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, let me tell you my personal feeling about how I want your future to be. You should be an accountant. And you should be a doctor. And Yehuda, I want you to be the king. And I don't want any of the brothers to meddle around. I want you to be the king, and I come to your house for Pesach, and you be sitting on the throne. You think Yaakov Avinu, this was like he got in his head, how he wants the Enoch Lach to look like? This is an ethical will of Yaakov Avinu. You think Yaakov Avinu called up Rabbi Zon, and he said, Rabbi Zon wanted me to speak about mask. I think Parshas Vayechi is something about end of life issues. So Rabbi Zon, this is a good start, right? You think Yaakov Avinu went to Rabbi Zon and he said, how do I write an ethical will? And Rabbi Zon said, look, tell all of your children what they should do in life. So Yaakov decided Yehuda should be the king, and the Chashmonaim violated the ethical will of Yaakov Avinu. Says the Ran, Yaakov Avinu is a Navi. And he's saying prophecy. And if he's saying prophecy, he's saying prophetically there will always be kings from Yehuda. The only thing is, it never happened. For the vast majority of Jewish history, we didn't have kings from Yehuda. We left Egypt. Who was the king from Yehuda? We came into Israel. Who was the king from Yehuda? We started having kings. Shaul, he's from Yehuda? No. Oh, but what do you mean, David, Shlomo? Okay, and then it ended. There you go. Then it broke away, Yerav Ben Avad and all the Malchei Yisrael. And by Yesheni, we didn't even have kings. So this is not Yaakov Avinu's personal will that he decided because Yaakov Avinu thought that Yehuda would be a good melech. These are words of prophecy. And V'leinu Skaima, Rakbi made David or Shlomo. It was never fulfilled. And therefore, the Ran, and this is expanded upon by the Abarbanel, the Ran says something very interesting. He says, in terms of the Chashmonaim were not real kings. Because Abakasha. Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda, the rulers will always be from Yehuda. But Joe Biden is not from Shevet Yehuda. How could it be? It's a stereo to what Yaakov Avinu said. Trump, even though Donald Trump is Gematria Mashiach ben David, fine, but he's still not from Shevet Yehuda. Obama, for sure, I happen to know personally, he's not from Shevet Yehuda. Saying Jimmy Carter, I don't think could claim. So Abakasha, Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda. Obviously, it's only when there's a Jewish king, that Jewish king has to come from Yehuda. Says the Ran, the Chashmonaim were not Jewish kings. They were puppets. Who are they puppets of? They were puppets of the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. the Greeks fell and the Greeks were dominated by the Persians, and you could debate this historically, but the Ramban writes in number 12 in the second to last column, he says five lines from the end, V'hamalachim asher molchu b'vay yesheni, the kings that ruled in the second base of Migdash, ein malchusam mitzaratzmam klal, they did not dominate, they did not reign on their own, avahim kipkvidim l'melech paras v'roimi, they were a vassal, they were puppets of the Persian and Roman Empire, and therefore they do not count. Okay, Marv Rabbi Yisai comes out Abarbanel. Rav Don Yitzchak Abarbanel was born in the year 1438. Ratzach. 1438. He passed away in Reish Samach Ches 1508. He lived 70 years, like the lifetime of his great predecessor, King David himself. Abarbanel was one of the most majestic, magnificent personalities in Jewish history. And he quotes the Ramban and he proceeds to completely disagree with every single premise of the Holy Ramban. He asks 8 questions on the Ramban, which are very powerful questions. He quotes the Ramban. The Ramban learns, Layasur Shevet. Shevet means the staff of royalty, the staff of Malchus. What's the proof of the Ramban? The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Shevet Mishar Shevet Malchusecha. The staff of justice, the staff of royalty. That implies the word Shevet means Malchus. Comes the holy Abarbanel and he says, what are you talking about? B'mechilas Kvoid Tairascha Harama. Says Abarbanel number 15. There are many, many mefarshim on the Brichas Yaakov. Rishonim, Achronim. Says Abarbanel, this is not something we could ever say, but this is how the Abarbanel says it. There's one thing all the Rishonim have in common, says Abarbanel, when it comes to the Brichas Yaakov. Again, this is not something we could ever say. I'm just telling you what he says. And that is that what they share in common is they're all wrong. Says the Abarbanel. They all veered off. Again, we're not authorized to speak this way about another Mefarish, but for the sake of the Machamta Shotar, you get a little bit of a flavor how the Abarbanel expressed himself. First of all, the Ramban brings a raya that Shevet means Malchus. First of all, says Abarbanel, if Yaakov Avinu meant kings always have to come from Yehuda, you know what he should have said? He should have said, La Yasur Malchus Mehuda. Would that have been so complicated? What do you need to get all poetic for? La Yasur Sheva Mehuda. Just say, La Yasur Malchus Mehuda. Furthermore, the Rabbi wanted to bring a raya. Since it says Shevet Malchusecha, that Shevet means Malchus. Just the opposite. If in Tehillim it says Shevet Malchusecha, that means Shevet does not mean Malchus. And if it meant Malchus, it would have to use the adjective Malchusecha. And if in this pasuk it says Lo Yasur Shevet, then it's not referring to the Shevet of Malchus. And therefore it says Abarbanel, look at number 16, bottom line, Umalonu Lahamun Advar B'Zeh. Why do I need to believe the words of the Ramban? It says somewhere I have to believe what the Ramban says. Why does Lo Yasur Shem Yehuda mean that kings will always come from Yehuda? Next, question number 2. And it was when there was a king in Yeshurun. Who's the king? The Gemara says God, but that's not Pashup Shat. Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, it's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, if you want to add to Jerusalem, you want to expand Jerusalem, you want to expand the Azara, you need a Melech, you need a Navi, you need the Urim Beturim. So how did the Jews do in the desert? Moshe Rabbeinu Melech Haya. Says that Abarbanel, really? Moshe was a king? Guess what Shevet he didn't come from? He didn't come from Yehuda. Yehoshua ben Nun was a Melech. What Shevet did he not come from? He didn't come from Yehuda. Oh, by the way, so I would humbly answer. Interesting chiddush. The Archaim HaKadosh in this week's parsha, I want to give a shir on this subject, learns. Who will Mashiach be? Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the famous Shita L'Rachayim HaKadosh. Mashiach will be Moshe Rabbeinu. You ever hear that? That's the Shita of the Archaim. He says, Moshe is Rashi Tevois, Ma shahaya hu shayyeh. Moshe, ma shahaya hu. That's Rechem HaKadosh. So he asked the Kasha, but Moshe doesn't come from David. How could he be Mashiach? He said, what do you mean? Moshe, that says in Pirkei Avos, incorporates all of Israel, including Yehuda. So, and then he says, v'hamei v'nyavin. Those who understand, understand. So obviously there's some kind of Kabbalistic concept that even though Moshe doesn't come from Yehuda, but he incorporates all of Klal Yisrael, including Yehuda. Now that would answer the Avraham Avinu's kasha. How could Moshe be a melech? He doesn't come from Yehuda. He comes from everybody. But the Avraham Avinu and the Rechem HaKadosh, they're not on the same, they're not talking on the same wavelength. Rechem HaKadosh is talking b'derech Kabbalah, mysticism. Avraham Avinu is asking on a practical level, if Yaakov Avinu is saying that kings always have to come from Yehuda, Moshe wasn't a king, Yoshua ben Nun was the king, Elamai, you'll say the Chiddush of the Ramban, that it doesn't say kings always have to come from Yehuda, but once the king starts from Yehuda, La Yasur, you can't take it away, says Avraham Avinu, there were Shoiftim, and the first Shoifet of Klal Yisrael was Asniel ben Kenaz. And guess what Shevet he came from? Yehuda. And then you had Shoftim from many, many Shvatim. So how do we understand this? Number three. This is an interesting question. I'm going to try to fully understand it. If Lo Yasur Shem Yehuda, according to Ramban, means not that there will always be kings from Yehuda, but rather so long as there are kings in Klal Yisrael, it won't go to another Shevet, shouldn't the Pasuk say, Lo Yasur Malchus Mihuda? Those who are watching, it's a battery. It's okay, it's the battery. It will be on that. It's fine. Lo Yasur Sheva Mihuda. In other words, the pasuk should say Layasur Sheva Me Yehuda Me'al Achiv. It should say explicitly, Yevan Shem will not allow a different Sheva to rule over Yehuda. Next kasha, this is an amazing kasha.
What is
the lawgiver's staff from between his feet? What that means is very poetic. We'll have to discuss that. I don't have anything on that right now. Okay. Next Kasha. We're going to see. The Pasuk says that when you appoint a melech, soim tas melech ha-melech mikarav achecha. You have to appoint a king from among the Jewish people, right? We know that's a din. If you look at number 21, you should appoint a king from the Jewish people. Right? We know the Pasuk is saying you can't appoint a Gentile king. So ask Avraham Avinu, no kidding, you can't appoint a Gentile king. He has to come from Shevet Yehuda. What do you need to say? You can't appoint a Gentile king. You can't appoint a king from Zevulun either. Number five, Shlomo Melech sinned. So God took Malchus away from Yehuda? Why? Take it away from Shlomo. Give Malchus to anybody else. There are many, many people you could give Malchus to. Well, why do you have to take Malchus away from the entirety of Shevet Yehuda? Just take Malchus away from Shlomo. You could give it to anybody. Furthermore, question number six says of Abinel. Number 24. This is a Gevaldik Akasha. This is a very Lumbish Akasha. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give Malchus to Shaul? Because since the Jews acted inappropriately, and he knew he was going to have to take away Malchus from them, he didn't want to give it to Yehuda because then he would have to take away Malchus from Yehuda. Says Avraham Avinu, what's the logic in that? Give Malchus to Yehuda. Who sinned by asking for a king? Yehuda sinned? No. Klal Yisrael sinned. So why do you have to take away Malchus from Yehuda? Give it to Yehuda. And then if the Jews sin, don't let them have a king. And when they do tshuva, give it back to Yehuda. What's the logic of, oh, God started Malchus with Shaul, because since the Jews sinned, and Hashem knew he's going to have to take away, so he gave it to somebody who he could take it away from. Why, if he would have given it to Yehuda, would he have to take it away from Yehuda? It's not like if Yehuda would have sinned, then I understand why you can't give it to Yehuda. But Yehuda didn't sin. The Kal Yisrael sinned in general. And therefore, the Abar Benel says this logic of the Ramban, who das botel. Very strong language. It's batel umavotel. Question number 7. The Ramban said, and the Ramban asked, Shmuel tells Shaul, Shaul, if you wouldn't have sinned, you would have been king forever. So that means you don't have to have a king from Yehuda, because Shaul would have been king forever. So the Ramban wants to say, no, you know what it means he would have been king? The Ramban personally says it means he would have been king on a small segment of the Jewish people, but not king over all of Israel. It says, Abar Benel, him dvarim shem behem mamish. It doesn't make any sense. Shaul at the time was king over all of Israel. And the Navi says to him, the Navi says, had you not sinned, you would have continued to be king over all Israel. And therefore the Abar Benel offers his landmark pshat. Says Abar Benel, there is no promise in the Torah. Kings always have to come from Yehuda. Doesn't have to be, it doesn't say anywhere. Kings could come from Binyamin. Kings can come from Zvulun, King Gamatoli. There's no pasuk, there's no idea, there's no mahadrin that a melech has to come from Yehuda. And Bechlal, you know, we have different perushim over here. The Gemara says the Reish Galusa comes from Yehuda. And those who teach Torah publicly come from Yehuda. And the Targum says kings come from Yehuda. So how do we reconcile all of this? Says the Ramban, when Yaakov Avinu says Lo Yasser Sheva Miyehuda, he's not talking about Malchus. He's talking about who will be the leaders and the Gedolim in Klal Yisrael. Who will be the leaders of the Jewish people from the time that Yaakov Avinu died until the great day that Mashiach comes? Who will be the Gedolei Torah, the Poiskei Torah, the Marbitzei Torah, not from Reuven, not from Shimon, not from Levi. Yeah, you have from, but predominantly the Gedolim of Klal Yisrael come from Sheva Yehuda. In fact, and then the Abar Benel, by the way, this comes from the Abar Benel, both in Sefer Shmuel and the Abar Benel on Parshas Vayechi. The Abar Benel says, another interesting pshat, Lo Yasser Shem Yehuda, means throughout Jewish history, the observant Jews in Klal Yisrael, those who have held on to Torah mitzvahs, even in the end of days, even in America, it will always be Shevet Yehuda. The other Shvatim, they'll be exiled. They might get lost. They'll go on the other side of the Sambat Yom. The only time you read about them is Mishpacha magazine will find one Shevet every week. They find a different Shevet. But besides that, we don't know that they're still kept up the faith. Maybe one day they'll come back. But according to Abar Benel, Lo Yasser Shem Yehuda means for the entirety of the history of the Jewish people, Shevet Yehuda will be connected to the main body of Jewish people. Says Abar Benel, Shevet is not Malchus, Shevet is Jewish leadership. Number one, when the brothers didn't know what to do with Yosef, who stood up and said, you know, we can't kill him? Vayomer Yehuda, Ma Betza. Reuven said A, B, and C. They didn't listen to Reuven. When they wanted to deal with Yosef, Vayigash Elav, Yehuda, last week when they want to build the yeshiva, who builds the yeshiva? Yehuda. When whose degel was the first degel on the kedem? Yehuda. Who traveled first? Yehuda. Whose carbon was brought on day one in the Chanukah Samizbeach? Nachshem and Aminadav, Lamata Yehuda. When they inherit Eretz Yisrael, who got the first share? Yehuda. When they count Klal Yisrael and Navi, every single time they count them, they count the rest of Klal Yisrael, and then they count Yehuda separately. Yehuda is always the most prestigious of the Shvatim. Even in the times of Shaul, they counted Yehuda separately. My grandfather's from Shevet Yehuda. And so is probably everybody in this room. But here the Abba Barnel says, "V'gamim ayosh shol nismana melech tamid." Even though when Shaul was appointed the king, the leadership and the prestige in Klal Yisrael still rested in the hands of Shevet Yehuda. And then when David and Shlomo became the kings, it was Niskaye more. And then when Shlomo sinned, the Malchus were divided. There was always royalty in Yehuda. And listen to this. And even when we went into Bavel, the Reish Galusa were always from Shevet Yehuda. And even the times of the Bayashani, says the Rabba, says Abba Barnel, it's ridiculous to say that the Chashmonaim were puppets of Malchei Paras and Yavan, but rather what it means is, says Abba Barnel, there was always a Nagid, and always a prince in Yerushalayim who came from Shevet Yehuda. Says Abba Barnel, even today, in our long and arduous Golos, quoting the Pasuk in Zechariah, of all the Jews who were exiled to France and to Spain, the Gedolei Yisrael, without exception, come from David HaMelech. Rashi is a direct descendant of David. Rambam was a direct descendant of David. Marshal was a direct descendant of David. Maharal was a direct descendant of David. Let's see, who's Gedalia, you're on over here.
Yeah.
And you remember this book? And there's a book, it's not a Sefer Kodesh. It's called The Luri Legacy. Nearly all the Rabbonim. Shui, I think you're in here actually. The Mari Mintz is in here. The Maram Katzen Ellenbogen, which almost every single Jew today is related to. All the Rabbonim and Rebbes trace back to David HaMelech. And this is a pshat, this we said many times, this is something which is Roy Lamisha Amroy, that Abba Barnel says about himself in many, many places, that he is a Choyter Migeza Yishai. He himself was a direct descendant of David HaMelech.
What was one of my mother's sin?
Married Bas Paroi. Now, then the Abba Barnel says, it could be, why did Ribbon Shem start off Malchus in the hands of Binyamin? So we know that the idea of a melech is Mekimi may offer a doll. God lifts up from the dust the poor. And the lowest of all the Shvatim was Binyamin. Why was Binyamin the lowest of all the Shvatim? It was the youngest. And Binyamin was sort of embarrassed of what happened by Pilegish Begiva. It was the most disgraced and lowest of all the Shvatim, and therefore Binyamin was Zoicha to Malchus before anybody else. And then when Shaul sinned, it was ripped away from him, and it was given to David HaMelech. So according to Abba Barnel, the fact that the Chashmonaim were Malachim, it doesn't say anywhere in the whole Torah that kings could only come from Yehuda. What it means is Gedolei Yisrael, Jewish leadership, be it Nachshon ben Aminadav, be it Osniel ben Kenaz, be it the Malchei Yehuda, be it the Bnei Banav Shel Hillel Shalimdu Torah Barabim, be it the Reish Galusa, be it Rashi, Rambam, Maral, Marshal, Maram, Katzen Ellenbogen, and almost all the Gedolei Yisrael could trace back to David HaMelech. Lemaisa statistics have it that 80% of Jews today, of Ashkenazic Jews at least, are traced back to David HaMelech.
Which one?
Okay, so now the kasha is, Rabbi Isai, the Ramban said that's why the Chashmonaim were punished so severely, because they took over the Malchus, but according to the Abba Barnel, they didn't do anything wrong. So, Rav Tzadok HaKohen, in defense of the Chashmonaim, he says the Ramban and the Abba Barnel are absolutely right. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that kings have to come from Yehuda. In fact, that's what they attribute to the Chassam Sofer of why Hanukkah is not mentioned in the Gemara. No, Rabbi Magdala says there's a different reason why Hanukkah is not mentioned in the Gemara. Hanukkah being mentioned in the Gemara would provoke anti-Semitism. If there was a Gemara, that there was a powerful empire, and Jews armed themselves and rebelled against the empire, it makes the Goyim very nervous. So therefore, in order to preserve the security of the Jewish people, we didn't want there to be a separate masechta about Jewish resistance. Jews get very nervous whenever you talk about resistance. Even, we'll talk about it for a second, you know, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Whatever happened over there. People get very nervous to say that there was any kind of Jewish resistance. People get very scared of that. Okay, whether... And there's what to say about that as well. Says Upsalik HaKoyein. Aye, one second. The what? Koyein, Levi. Levi. Aye, the Gemara says that the Chashanah were wiped out to a man. It's not true, they were never wiped out. What do you mean? But the Gemara says that anyone who says they're from the house of the Chashanah is a Eved. Listen carefully to how to read the Gemara. There was one last public known Chashmonai, because everyone else was a closet Chashmonai, because their lives were in danger by Yanei HaMelech, who tried to kill them all out. So she was the last known Chashmonai, and she says, anyone who says they're a Chashmonai is an Eved, because I'm the last known Chashmonai about to kill myself. But there were thousands and thousands and thousands of unknown, secret, closet Chashmonaim, and they weren't punished, and they weren't wiped out, because they didn't do anything wrong, because Layasar Shem Yehuda doesn't mean you can't have kings from a different Sheva. Layasar Shem Yehuda is not only the ethical will of Yaakov, it is a prophecy that until the great day of the coming of the Mashiach, the Gedolei Yisrael, the Manhigei Ha'am, will be descendants of David HaMelech. And until today, the Abarbanel says that in his time, all the Manhige Yisrael came from Shevet Yehuda. And you'd be surprised that until Ad Yomenu, it continues to be that way. I remember I once went over, I had a relationship with a Rav, Rabbi Shlomo Warman. Very interesting personality. He wrote a multi-volume set on Shas and Poiskim called She'iras Yosef. And he had in his house a yichus brivon. Mamish. Dar to dar to dar to dar. And he was a Levi to David HaMelech. To Rashi, to Rabbi Yochanan HaSadler, and to David HaMelech. My grandfather, before the war, he had a yichus brivon going back to King David. But the majority of Klal Yisrael, put it this way, in the times of Rashi, there were 10,000 Jews, Ashkenazic Jews, and Rashi had 5 daughters. So statistically, everybody comes from Rashi. But in that case, the prophecy of Yaakov Avinu is Lo Yosur Shevim Yehuda U'Mechoykek Mibein Raglav Ad Kiyov Oshila, until the great day of the coming of Mashiach, when, of course, this Nevuah will be restored completely and will be Zoicha to the real Malchus of Mashiach ben David, Sheyavai Vigalenu, Mir Yemenu, Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.